chapter 6, the Bible says in verse number 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's say that out loud together. Ready? Begin. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The word here, faint, means to quit. To quit. And so the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't quit. May we pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity just simply to gather together here and to look into the Word of God. I pray that You would, by Thy Spirit, open the eyes of our spiritual understanding and help us to behold wonderful things from out of Your Word. And this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus and for His glory. Amen. You know, I just believe that there are a lot of people that have quit way before it was time to quit. They've called it quits. You know, I'm going to tell you the first place that they quit, right in their minds, before they ever turn in their letter of resignation, before they ever drop out of church, they've already punched out mentally. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, there in verse number, I believe it's 4 or 5, where it says, "Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind." In your mind, you start thinking, "I can't do this." In your mind, you start thinking, I can't keep this up. I'm gonna drop over dead or quit or worse." And folks, I'm just gonna tell you something. The battle is won or lost right here. Right here. And guess what? The prince and the power of this air is a liar. Let me say that again. The prince of the power of this air is a liar. And you know what he wants you to think? He wants you to think it's all up to you. You know what he wants you to think? He wants you to think it's way too hard. You can't do it. Listen, if you're here Sunday night, and if you listen to the sermon Sunday night, you'd sooner take the yoke that God lays on you than the yoke of this world. Amen? I know I would. Any time of the day, and twice on Sunday, and folks, I'd rather take a cross than the yoke of iron that the world puts on you. Some folks think it's so hard to serve God. No, it's hard not to serve God. You say, why is that? Because listen, we have a theme up here, it's called The Real Thing. You know one of the reasons why that's our theme this year? Because God showed me something. You want to know what it is? That the Christian life is to be lived in the power of the agency of the Holy Spirit of God, by which I live and move and breathe and have my being. The Spirit of Jesus lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so God wants to live out His life through me. He wants me to live one singular life. But do you know what I've discovered? Most Christians are living two lives. It's number one, the life that they're living in front of everybody at church that they hope everybody thinks is the real them. And the second life is the real them that they desperately don't want anybody to get to know. And one life is an impossibility for you to live apart from God. Two lives will wear you out and make you quit. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Most of the people that punch out of the work of the Lord and get disillusioned, it's because they have never chosen to live the life of Jesus Christ. They're doing it on their own and in their own power with their eyes on man and not on God. Like Moses who looked at the children of Israel and looked up to God and said, "These people are wearing me out." He'd done it all this time. He'd stood up to Pharaoh. He'd seen great miracles wrought. Now all of a sudden they're griping, moaning, and complaining, and it's about to wear him out now. He didn't see the strength of the Lord any longer because he had his eyes upon man. And the Bible says, Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what, it's interesting that the Bible carries this theme a lot. Proverbs 28 and verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know, in February of 2003, I came and preached at Freeway Baptist Church for the first time. This February would be 8 years ago. April was when I formally was installed as pastor, but I got a call to come and preach. I think it was February the 20th. I have it written in my notes somewhere. And I remember coming out here with Linda and the kids and everything. And, you know, we had stars in our eyes and all these ideas about what was going to come and what the Lord may bring of it. And at first it was nothing. We were just coming to preach. And then the thing began to kind of go from there. And, you know, little did we think that we would have to go through some of the things that we faced. In fact, the truth is, if the Lord would have given us a vision of what we were going to have to go through in those years, we would have run as far and as fast as we could have possibly run away from the Freeway Baptist Church. But you know, that's not how God does it with us, is it? He says, I'm going to give you grace when you need it. I'm going to give you grace for today. I'm not going to give you grace for today and tomorrow. I'm not going to give you grace for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I'm going to give you grace for the day. So God doesn't want you carrying the bags of the past and being overwhelmed with the cares of the past and worrying about tomorrow. He'll give you strength enough to live through today. And God will give you everything that you need today. And you know what? If you just take it and realize that God is going to allow me to take the Christian life one moment at a time, one decision at a time, 1 second as a time, leaning on Him, and He'll give me everything that I need in the process, you'll be fine in the Christian life. But the truth is that there are a lot of people that say, oh, I'm all down at the church all the time. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm just going to burn out. I'm just going to wear out. Can I tell you something? I really don't know that many people in 30 years that did so much because of a white hot passion for Jesus that led them to burn out. I know a lot of people that did it for themselves, that did it to please somebody else, that did it because they wanted the approval of men, or because they were so legalistic, they were bound up in the law, they thought they had to do it or else. And they burn out. I don't know anybody that was just so in love with Jesus they couldn't help themselves but serve God that burn out. Neither do you. Did you hear me? Neither do you. There are not too many people like that anymore that are just burning out because they're all in for Jesus all the time. Most of us are pretty good at looking out for ourselves, hedging our schedule and our budget, and hedging everything except our commitment to Jesus Christ. We let everything and everyone shove God off into the corner at every whim. We're not burning out because we're just so overburdened down with the work and the daily care of the saints. Be honest. You know, I was griping about the ministry one time. And you know, people that are involved in it, sometimes they gripe about it. You ever notice that? You never did? I'm the only one? You're right, you know. I never do either. No, you know, sometimes people are involved with it, they gripe about it. I was talking to my mother one time, you know. And I discovered that's really... I always think I'm just going to get this sage advice and this warm, loving counsel and all this nurture from my mother. And sometimes she just kicks my rear end. You know? She says, listen, son, God-given duties are never in conflict. If you're overworked, it's because you've taken something on that God didn't intend for you to hold. But God made you a husband. He made you a father, He made you a pastor, and you need to focus on your priorities, and if you can do those things well and take on something else, fine, if you believe that's what God wants you to do, but don't let man obligate you something that God didn't give you. You know what? if we would just take that and just learn something from that simple wisdom. Let us not be weary in well-doing. It was Charles Spurgeon that used to say that it is okay to become weary in the work, just not weary of the work. You know what? If I come to Monday morning and I'm not so tired on Monday morning that I can barely get out of the bed, I haven't put enough in on Sunday. There have been studies done that indicate that preaching a sermon, the average preacher that puts himself into preparation and delivery of a sermon, exerts as much energy as running a marathon. I believe it. I put myself into it. And if you've never done it, it's hard to understand it, really. Because you're not just exerting yourself physically, you're not just giving mentally, but you're doing hand-to-hand combat with the devil. And folks, that'll just wear you out. God never promised that we wouldn't get tired. God never promised that we wouldn't be wore out. I told Brother Joshua before he came, I said, look, if you're not just worn out about half the time, you're not doing what you ought to do. You know, I said, if you work a 40-hour work week, I can't use you. You're not worth shooting to me. What do you more than others? Right? You know, here's Brother Mark. He gets up at 4:30 in the morning. Here's Brother Mark over here, other Brother Mark. He gets up at 4:30 in the morning. These guys work 40 hours, and then they come down to the church, and they go soul winning, and they're being a blessing. They're plugged into the work of God come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and doing all the things that they can do as a Christian. And so they've already put their 40 in. What do you more than others if you work at a church and you put in 40 hours? Big stinking, honking, hairy deal. You know? I know a preacher not far from here that when he went to a church, he negotiated a contract with his church that he's only going to invest 40 hours a week, and that included visitation, prayer, Bible study, and everything else, and don't call on him after a certain time of the day or after he'd fulfilled his hours, or he's going to receive extra pay. You know, I had one of the men from that church tell me that, and he said, what do you have to say about that? And I said, if he ever leaves, can I apply? No, I didn't. I said, you don't want to hear what I have to say about that. Let me share something with you. And I'm going to give you four statements in a minute. You'll write these down, and it'll go fast, but you'll say, wow. You know, in Mark chapter 10, Peter, in verse 28, began to say unto the Lord, lo, we have left all and have followed Thee. Look at us, Lord. We're doing a lot for You. We're really doing a lot for You, Lord. Look at this. And you know what the Lord said? Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for My sake and the Gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You know what? If you were really all in for Jesus and said, look at everything that I've given up for Jesus, look at all that I've done for Jesus, and you did it out of a pure heart, guess what? God's honor bound to keep His Word here. He'd say, listen, I'm going to reward you 100-fold, not up in the sweet by and by, but right here in the nasty now and now. I'm going to show you My goodness and My glory now in this life. You know why we don't see it much? Because people aren't given to the Lord like that. They talk like that, but my friend, God sees right through all that nonsense. Doesn't He? Some sometimes people want to talk about all they're doing for God, and I want to stop and say, you're trying to convince yourself, me, or God, or all three, because I'm not buying it. Right? Let me see your checkbook ledger. Let's start right there. Yeah, forget about what you're telling me that you did in some nebulous time frame back yonder. Let me see your checkbook register this week. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you're giving all that time, I'll promise you something. You're giving at least a tithe on top of it. And if you're not, just shut up. Because all that time you're putting in is a bunch of jaw flapping and don't mean Bo Diddley. It's in the Greek, Bo Diddley. Folks, listen, I don't know how else to tell it to you but straight. I'm just being the real thing tonight. Right? Now look, let us not be weary in well-doing. I want to tell you this. Look in Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I want you to underline the word man and the pronoun there, he. Okay? Verse 8, for he, underline he, that soweth to his flesh, underline his, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he, underline that he again, soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us, underline us, not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we, underline we, shall reap if we, underline we, if we faint not. You say, why do you want me to underline all these pronouns? Why do you want me to underline man? Because I want to tell you something. God's focus is not on the work. God's focus is on the workman. And I'm going to give you a statement. This is something we all need to bear in our minds. You ready? Are you ready? Got your pen ready? Here's what I'm telling you. God is more interested in you than in what you do. Well, you know, when I, in 1968, you know, I topped the 7th and 8th grade class and we had this. Oh, save it. You know, well, you know, singing the choir, teaching the Sunday school, working the bus ministry, you know, I'm doing a lot of parking lot patrol, you know, blah, 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 you know, there's all, we have our big pedigree. This is all we do. You know, be careful you're going to trip on your Sunday school pen. It's getting so long, you know, and gangly. You know, my friends, I'm going to tell you, God's not interested in all that nonsense. He doesn't want to see your pedigree. He wants your heart, my friend. God is more interested in you than in what you do. Let me tell you something. God would love you just as much if you were a quadriplegic and could never teach a class. Never knock a door. Never do another living thing at the church house again. God would love you just the same as those that are down there every day getting it done. Because His love for you is not based upon anything that you do for Him. Amen. Now listen. Flip back to Galatians chapter 2. Brother Hilmer did something to me on Tuesday I didn't like very good. He was preaching one of my sermons back at me. And I said, you've been talking to my wife, haven't you? She's famous for doing that. You know, I'll be out of sorts and she'll remind me what I just preached. And I can't say anything. And I always have something to say. You know? But look, this is something that maybe we'd ought to spend a little time on, and then maybe later on go back and watch on the internet and try and absorb some of this again, because it's worth hearing a second time. I'm going to show you something. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So, you see what he's saying? I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Paul is talking about something that his service to God is built upon. That in his mind, he recognizes and acknowledges and reckons himself as dead to sin, alive to God, dead to the law. Now, what is the law? Somebody tell me, what's the law? Got any ideas? Huh? Rules? Rules and regulations? Do we want to be democratic about this? How many think that that's a good definition of the law? Okay. One. Anybody else want to take a stab at it? Say, hey, you know, I don't know if it's rules or regulations. How about, is it the Ten Commandments? Some here, you know, Brother Cronk, Pastor, looking like a calf staring at a new gate here. He knows what that looks like. You know? You know, let me just tell you, Brother Ron was pretty close to the mark there. Practically, he said, in verse 19, I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. How am I through the law dead to the law? You know why? The law said that blood had to be shed as a payment for sin. And through the law, the fulfillment of the law, guess what? That payment was made in my behalf. And so because there's no double jeopardy with God, I'm henceforth and forevermore dead to the hold and the demands that the law had on me. And so are you if you're a believer. You know who satisfied all the law for you? Jesus did. Amen? So I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might, what? Live unto God. Now folks, Paul is placing the focus not on the law. He's not focusing on any ritual or work or ceremony. He's focusing on himself. I, through the law, I'm dead to the law that I might live unto God. So he's recognizing, listen, God's more interested in my life than in what I do with my life. You know why? Because if my life is yielded to Him, if my life is what it needs to be, guess what? All the work and stuff will take care of itself. You know that? If you're full of Jesus, guess what? You're just going to be doing what you need to be doing. Some people think, well, you need to be out there doing it to be full of it. No, listen. I know some people that are full of it, but it's not the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? And they're out there doing something and calling it Christian service, but it's not living unto God because of a deadness to the law. Now, catch this, my friend, because this is critical to having an enduring spirit and lasting to the end and determining I'm not going to be weary in well-doing. You see, the law is this. It is an expectation. It is a regulation. And the law of Moses was not made as a means whereby we could measure up to it and try to live. It was given so that every mouth might be stopped and every soul, person, man might be made guilty before God. The Bible says in the book of Galatians here that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, to show us you can't be good enough to get yourself to heaven. You can't do it. You can't keep the commandments well enough to get yourself to heaven. Do you know that every one of the commandments Jesus in His earthly ministry carried to a higher level than the Ten Commandments? And because of love, the standard is even higher than it was on Sinai. Did you know that? You see, the law says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But do you know what Jesus said? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength. Not just don't have anybody ahead of me, but love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength. Boy, commandment number two. Thou shalt not bow down to any image or make any graven image thereof. You know, and because I am the Lord thy God and jealous God. You know what He said? Not just don't bow down to a graven image. He said, covetousness is idolatry in Colossians 3:5. How are we doing so far? Huh? I mean, you could go right on down the line. Not just, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, right? For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who uses his name in vain. You go on and see what the Lord said about using his name in vain. You go on and see what the Lord said. Not just keep the Sabbath, but do good on the Sabbath. Not just honor your father and mother, but care for them in their old age and pay their bills. That's what the law of love demands of us. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You can never measure up to that apart from Jesus. You never can. You know that? Not just thou shalt not commit adultery, but if you even look on a woman and have lust in your heart, you're an adulterer. That's what Jesus said. You understand that? It's so far beyond the pale of man's ability. But do you know what? There's a lot of people who think, you know, if I do this and I do this and I do this, and if I do this, then I will be the type of Christian that the Lord will really love. And that God will really receive and accept me if I do A, B, and C, you know. And we kind of have this little mantra, you know. It's like, I don't smoke, dance, drink, cuss, or chew, carouse with them to do. I wear my seatbelt and pay my taxes. I'm kind to animals. I think globally and act locally. And I go to church every Sunday and I invite people to church and I pass out tracts. And, you know, I wear my hair just so. And so, you know, when you put all this together, it means that I'm this great person and the Lord will receive me. Can I tell you something? God doesn't receive you because of one thing that you do or do not do. I am dead to all that nonsense. And as long as I think like that, guess what? I am setting myself up for a case of royal burnout. Because you'll never work hard enough. You'll never be able to do enough. And at the end of the day, you'll be sorely unfulfilled, miserably frustrated, devastatingly unhappy, and you'll quit. And you'll never see what God wanted to bless you with. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't forget, God is more interested in you than in what you do. Now I'm going to tell you something else. You with me? Okay, don't get nervous because I'll quit in just a minute. But we got to see this. Okay, so he said, look, I'm not under the law, because the only thing that the law can do is hold me in bondage. The only thing that the law could do is keep me down. The only thing that the law could do is condemn me. Damn my soul to hell. That's all it could ever do. That's what it was good for. It demonstrated to me how much I needed Jesus. I thank God for the law in that respect. It reveals to me a snapshot of the nature of God. I know I'm not under the law, but you know, God has not changed His mind through the years because He's given us grace. Did you know that? So, all those things that are contained in the law, 651 specific commandments in the Pentateuch, are a reflection of the heart and the mind of the Holy God. The 10 are just a summation of all the others. And the Lord pared them down to 2 yet. But friend, when I recognize that it's not me and that I don't have to measure up because Jesus has done everything necessary to make me acceptable to Holy God, it is liberating. And then you know what? When I realize that He set me free, then I can set Him free to live out His life through me. I am crucified with Christ, it says. Nevertheless, I live. In the next verse, I realize I'm set free, so guess what? I say, God, I want You to be free to do in me and through me everything in the world that You yearn to do. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. And folks, that's quite simply the formula for keeping going, because guess what? God doesn't ever wear out. Amen. Do you know that? God doesn't ever get tired. Listen. Then it goes on to say in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then is Christ dead in vain. If I go on thinking that I've got to live to somebody's standard for acceptance, guess what? I frustrate the grace of God. Grace is no more grace then. Romans chapter 11. And Christ died in vain. If it's up to me to measure up through anything I can do. The reason why Christ died is because I can't measure up. I never will be able to. I've fallen short of the glory of God. And I can never hit the mark. So I've got to recognize that He set me free. And then I got to recognize that He wants to be freed in me. For me to get out of the road and let God be God, to live His life out through me. Now I want to tell you this, number two. You ready? Are you ready? Second statement I want you to remember, okay? Here it is. God has what you don't have and will give you what you need when you need it. Isn't that profound? God has what you don't have and will give you what you need when you need it. Okay? I'm going to read something from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is so good. Is it so good? Some of you are not really sure, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Okay? Here's what the Bible says in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, do you know what? This is talking about God will meet our material needs and He will meet our monetary needs. But God will give you the strength that you need. He'll give you the grace that you need. He's able to make all grace. Grace is a gift. He'll give you whatever it is that you have need of. God has what you don't have, and He'll give you what you need when you need it. Listen, God is able. Say that. God is able. He's able to make all grace abound toward you. Did you hear me? Not toward the church, not towards all the saints, toward you personally. To Jenny and Emily. He's able to make all grace abound towards April and Bobby. Why? Here's why. That ye, always having all sufficiency. That means I have everything I need in all things may abound unto every good work. God will give you everything you need to take care of what needs to be done. He's got what you don't have, and He'll give you what you need when you need it. And sometimes you think, I'm just so tired. I don't think I can go Sunday. Man, women's retreat? Oh, come on, man. You know, just put another thing on my plate. You know, I mean, just wear me out thinking about it. Right? I used to on New Year's Eve go through the whole year's calendar with everybody, but I realized psychologically I was wearing everybody out. Going through a year's outings in 1 hour. It's like, whoa. You know, and it's like eating that proverbial elephant. It's really hard to eat it all at once. But if I cut it up and eat it in bite sizes over time, I might be able to get her down, you know? You know, God wants to give you exactly what you need. You say, I'm tired. Look, what are you tired from? From working hard? From working hard? Since when was that so wrong? You trying to tell me that the first century church didn't work hard? The people that laid down their life for Christ were idiots because they burn out, literally, at the stake? You know, sometimes I wonder what we think, you know? Look, I realize I'm no good at dead to my kids. You know that? I'm no good to Freeway Baptist Church if I'm laying in a hospital bed, right? So I'm calling upon God to give me the wisdom to make right choices, to give me what I don't have so that I'll have everything I need when I need it. You know that? So I recognize that there are times where I need to just say, hey, I need Hilmer to come along and preach one of my sermons back to me. He got in my face like 3 times yesterday and he said, you know, I heard a preacher one time say that only worry about the things that you can't do. Don't worry about the things that you can't do. He'd be like, I can't remember the name of the guy that said that. Yeah. I wanted to say, why I oughta... One of these days, Helmer. You know, look. I say, I don't have it. And the Lord says, I do. If you quit trying to do it for a minute, I'll give you everything you need, including rest. You know, now if you come and say, you know, I hate this work. I hate these people. I hate this work. Listen, that's another story. But if you say, I'm just played out. I've got to do my laundry. You know, God will help you with that. Right? I'm just tired. You know, I got to stay up and help my daughter do her algebra homework tonight. Or I should say, watch her do it because I have no idea what she's doing. I help her with the government, the consumer math, and the English, and everything else. And Linda does the algebra too. So she has to do that early because Linda's not staying up till 2 in the morning. Folks, Lord's sake, you know what? Look, if you'd quit trying to do my job for me, you'd be okay. Now look, I'm going to tell you a third thing. You ready? Hard work. You writing this down? Some of you are writing. Some of you say, I'll get the tape. You're a liar. You don't even have a tape deck. It's a CD player. Some of you picked up on that, didn't you? You have to watch the CD to get some of these jokes, you know. Have to get up pretty early in the morning. All right, thirdly, look. Hard work produces fatigue from which you will find rest. Hard work produces fatigue from which you will find rest. Obsessing about worldly things produces fatigue from which there is more fatigue. Hard work produces fatigue for which there is rest. Obsessing about worldly things produces fatigue from which there is more fatigue. You know what Philippians 4 says? Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. You know what the word careful means? Filled with care and anxiety. We might say in today's vernacular, don't be all stressed out. Do we know what that means? Does anybody here have any idea what stress is? Let me see your hand. Can I get a witness up in here? Anybody know what stress is? Some of you got two hands up. You know, it's like, you want to look it up in the dictionary, there's my picture. Stress personified, right? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Anybody have any financial stress? No, nobody like that here tonight? Anybody have any marital stress on you? Don't raise your hand. Okay, now look, I got to shut up and quit here. But I got to say this. Look, be careful for nothing. Don't get stressed out about anything. Here's what the Bible's saying, okay? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I'm not going to stress and take the burden of all this stuff on my own shoulders and think, I've got to work it out. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it to Jesus. I'm going to cast all my care upon Him. Why? He careth for me. You know what that word care is the root word of? Careful. Right? What does it say? Be careful. Casting all your care. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take all the things I'm stressed out about and I'm going to cast them on Jesus. Casting all your care, carefulness, all my stress. I'm going to cast all my care on Jesus. Why? Because He cares for me. You know what that means? He'll take the stress for me. He said, that's what I want you to do. So, I'm going to come to Jesus in prayer, and what's going to happen? The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep my heart and mind by Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. Listen, some of you are stressed out because you're trying to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. You're trying to figure out how you're going to teach third and fourth grade Sunday school class. You're trying to figure out how you're going to fill up the Sunday school bus. You're trying to figure out how I'm going to keep up with going to the ladies retreat and without my boss being on my neck and how I'm going to, you know, prepare all those meals for my husband when I'm gone. I might come home and find him laid out from starvation. You're worried about all these things. Some of you are like, no, I'm not worried about that a bit. That would only prove to me that there's a God in heaven. Amen. Look, we got all these things, these cares. And the Lord said, look, I want to give you my peace. And if you're stressed out and at the point of being burnt out, here's why. You're trying to do God's job. You're trying to take the stresses of the world and of the ministry and of life and carry them on your shoulders, and God never intended for you to do that. He said, I want you to cast them on me because you're not equipped to handle them. Look, He says, I have what you don't have, and I'll give you what you need when you need it. Do you believe that? God is able. God is able. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, they abound unto every good work. God will give it to you. You know that? Hey, listen. Somebody better get the phone. God's calling. It's the sermon police saying it's time to go home. It's the children's church workers wanting to know when we're getting out. Amen. It's Brother Mike saying it's time for choir practice. Last thing I want to say. Okay, man, okay. We got to find, this is the last thing I'm going to say, and we'll go home. Okay, you ready with your pen? Here, you got it? Here's statement number 4. You will ultimately choose to have faith or to think. You choose. Nobody chooses it for you. You know, how many of you remember that verse we read at the beginning of this thing? Galatians 6, 9. Okay? What are the first two words of that verse? Tell me. And let. Let. You know what the word let means? To permit or to allow. You know what that means? That I decide if I'm going to get weary in well-doing. All these kids about to wear me out. I don't think I'm going to quit. Listen, you decide if you're going to wear out and burn out. So, either you're going to have faith or you're going to faint. Either I'm going to lean on Jesus, which is having faith in Him. I'm going to depend on Jesus, or I'm going to depend on me. And guess what happens then? I faint. I quit. Right? Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know who decides whether you faint or have faith? You do. Nobody has that power over you. You have the power to choose. So, I could be stressed out and under the load of it and choose to try to do God's job for Him. And that's my choice, to quit, to faint. Or I can say, Lord, I'm going to just simply trust You. I'm going to let God be God in my life. I'm going to cast my cares, everything that stresses me out, on Jesus. You know? Every once in a while I have to take a problem from church and I just have to throw it on Jesus. You know why? Because I can't afford to lose any more sleep over it. You know what? I just have to say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this one. I'm giving it back to You. You're doing a better job of handling it than me anyhow. You know, and there's everybody looking at, well, you know, I wonder if the shepherd's going to have the moxie to pull this one off. I wonder what he's going to do this time. Sometimes I'm home and I'm like, Jesus, I don't know what to do. You got to do something here, you know. And I'm going to lose. And I say, God, You got to be God in this situation. And then the Lord handles it, and it's way better than if I'd have handled it. I'll promise you that. You know what? And then He gets all the credit for it anyhow. You know, if God grows this church and everybody says, what a wonderful Savior, that's a whale of a lot better than if we grow the church and people say, we got a great pastor. You know, look, He promised to build the church. You know, people talk about, Dr. So-and-so is a great church builder. No, he wasn't. Oh, yeah, he was. I was there. I was in that church. No, he wasn't. He wasn't either. God said He would build the church. If it grew, guess who grew it? God did. Nobody can claim credit for that. That's too heavy a cross to bear. Amen? That's getting bound up in the law. So, You will ultimately choose to have faith or to faint. You choose. What's it going to be? Let us not. Don't allow, okay, yourself to be weary in well-doing. It's okay to be weary in well-doing. In terms of, I'm tired. But I'm not going to get tired of the work. You know why? Because I'm not doing it for you. I love you, but I'm not doing it for you. Because you know what? You'll get sideways with me and leave the church. You know what? The offerings go down, you'll find another church that, you know, asks 5%, not 10. Right? What do? Hit the unemployment line? You understand? I'm not doing it because I love you so much. Do I love you so much? Yes, I do. I'm doing it because I love Jesus so much. And this is what He called me to do. And I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to let You be God in my life. And sometimes I don't practice what I preach, but that's okay. Neither do you. Okay? Nobody does that all the time. God knows in my heart I want to. And sometimes it takes some 85-year-old guy to stick his nose where it doesn't belong to remind me of that. I'm serious. But we're going to love Jesus and serve Jesus. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap. We shall reap. If we don't quit, if we faint not, you decide. You'll be a person of faith or a faint. I choose not to be a quitter. How about you? I choose not to be a quitter.